That vision is pointing out the purpose of suffering of righteous people vis-a-vis the prosperity and well-being of wicked people. That this phenomenon baffled all the prophets, and even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said to Almighty God, "Hareini Eskodecho," Almighty God responded, "Ani Avir Eskol Tuvi Alponecho, Vichameisi Sasharochei, Verechamti Sasharachei." Vayimer Loisucha Oliris Esponai, Kvirani Odom Bechoi, Vayimer in Mokimiti Yarsur, Vayo Bavir Kredi, Visamticho Benikas Hatsur, Visamti Chapi Olecho Adobri, Vigoyiso Esachirai, Fona Eliro. And Moshe said, "Show me thy glory." And he said, and Almighty God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll be compassionate to whom I'll be compassionate." And he said, "Thou cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand on the rock while my glory passes by, and I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and thou shalt see my back, but my face cannot be seen." What is the meaning of this expression? I mentioned before that Yalkut Shemini says that the purpose of suffering by righteous people vis-a-vis the prosperity and well-being of wicked people can be understood only after providence has completed its march through the avenues of time. However, it cannot be comprehended while historical events are being unfolded before our own eyes. Now, we can attempt to explain the symbolic meaning of the four creatures: man, lion, ox, eagle. Modern psychologists say there are four types of human beings. One type is the homo religiosus type, a person, a religious type, who always thinks in terms of religious concepts, not in terms of politics, of economics, of science and art. And then there's another type, a homo politicus, like the diplomats. They are primarily interested in politics. And then a homo economicus, those who are interested in economy. And then homo scientificus. I think that man symbolizes the homo religiosus type. The lion symbolizes the homo politicus, because the Talmud says that the lion is the Melech HaChayis. He is the king of all the animals. The ox, who plows the earth. In ancient times, agriculture was the basis of economy, not industry. So he symbolizes the homo economicus. The eagle, who flies high and discovers new vistas and areas, so symbolizes the homo scientificus. The divine chariot that is being carried by the four living creatures through the generations is symbolic of the four types of people who lead the world. Every constructive leader in the world throughout the generations must possess, has to have four faces. He must possess a little bit of each type. The homo politicus, like President Roosevelt, Clinton, etc., must possess a little bit of the homo religiosus, of the homo economicus, and of the homo scientificus. If a political leader is only a homo politicus and does not possess even a little bit of the other homos, like Hitler, Stalin, or Mussolini, or Khrushchev, he is not a leader, but rather an enemy of mankind. The purpose of suffering by righteous people cannot be comprehended now. However, the Moshiach ben Yosef did not die in vain. He paved the way for the ultimate redemption of the Jewish people and the ultimate redemption of all of mankind. He was a true type of a Moshiach ben Yosef. Jamie did not die in vain, even though we can't understand the purpose of his early death. At the age of 32, he was a real Moshiach ben Yosef. He was primarily a homo religiosus, but he possessed a substantial portion of the homo scientificus. We have to consider Jamie as a role model to inspire our youngsters to be externally and internally beautiful and correct. He is entitled every year to a great mourning. There is another view at the end of Misach HaSuki, that the great mourning will consist of a eulogy over the death of the Yetzer Hara, the constructive and productive ambition. Jamie, according to my impression, I heard his lecture and I spoke to him for 50 minutes, but I developed a certain impression of Jamie. According to my impression, was devoid of ambition, even of constructive and productive ambition. He was only interested in spiritual, scientific, and artistic pursuits. He neglected his own health and his own well-being. But that's only if we take a superficial glimpse of the tragedy of life. However, if we take a deeper view of the tragedies that overtake the various Moshiach ben Yosef, we can see that above the frozen layer of ice, there is a Musodom, the Mara Ashtino. There is a Keil, Rachum v'chamim, Erachapayim v'gafreset. Who runs the world, we can say to Jamie, this is not the end of my Moya lecture, but this is the end of the written portion. Yehei zichrich obo, v'ato leich l'keitz, v'tamei l'gorlecho l'keitz ha'yimim. Now, but that's in regard to the purpose of suffering on an individual level. But how about the purpose of suffering on a national level? What is the moral lesson? Now in the state of Israel, we are being overtaken to a certain extent by Holocaust, with the Palestinian terrorists, the various terrorists, PLO terrorists, Hamas terrorists, Iranian terrorists, trying to take over Eretz Yisrael and destroy the Jewish people, not only in Israel, but all over the world. And with the Rabin government, a servant government, that is trying to hand over Yehuda and Shomron and Galon Heights to Arafat and the Palestinians. I'm not going to discuss Jericho and the Gaza Strip. That's a lost cause. That will be for Mashiach to bring it back for the Jewish people. But I'm talking about the rest of the state of Israel, of Eretz Yisrael, Galon Heights, and Yehuda and Shomron. So, the Rabin government is happy to have more and more Mashiach b'Yisrael, and to be martyrs, as Paris half a year expressed it. Until now, Eretz Yisrael was an Eretz Novas Cholovot Vosh for the Jewish people. Now, as a result of this peace pact, it will be an Eretz Novas Cholovot Vosh for the Palestinians and for the Jewish people. Now, we have to say, enough is enough. We cannot allow the Rabin government to hand over all of our soil to terrorists. And in conclusion, I would like to mention the haftorah of this coming Shabbos of Parsha Baleischa of the Neir Yitzchai, and to mention what Reb Chaim, my grandfather, said in explaining the haftorah. The sky says, "Vayoshov Hamalach Adevavi, Vayarein Mishnosik," and the angel of God came back to me and he woke me up. And the angel of God asked me, "Matareya, what do you see?" And I said, "Sky said he saw in the vision a candelabrum and two olive trees, echad mimino ve'echad mismeilo, one on the right side and one on the left side." So I said, Ma, what does it mean? What does it symbolize? The candelabrum with two olive trees, one on the right and one on the left. And the Malach said to Schaye, "Halidatomai, you know what it is. Why you ask such questions?" I don't know. So Reb Chaim has the question, how is it? The Malach said, "Al yadatu." So it's true. So Schaye disagrees with the Malach. But the Pshat is, Schaye knew what it symbolizes. As the Alter Shemeni points out, that the two olive trees symbolize the two Mishuchim, the two anointed individuals in the Jewish people. One was the Malchus Bishdovid and one was the King of it. The Melach Bishdovid was always anointed with Shemen HaMishcho, and the King of it was also anointed with Shemen HaMishcho. So Schaye couldn't understand the Adikash. After all, this is in Ibuye for the Baal Shem. And the Shemen HaMishcho, what the Gemara Talmud says in Yume, was one of the five things that Yeshayahu HaMelech was gaining. So in the Baal Sheni there was no Shemen HaMishcho. How could there be a prophetic vision of Shemen HaMishcho? The King God Baruch Hu Bishdovit were not in Baal Sheni, and King Godu was Nimshach. Not through Shemen HaMishcho, but through Ribuv Godim, because the King Hegeh does his Aveda Bishamigdosh with four Bgodim, and the King Godel does his Aveda Bishamigdosh with eight Bgodim. So how can the vision speak of the Shemen HaMishcho? And the Malach gave him a teretz. Loi b'chayel v'loi b'keach. Neither by force and neither by might, but by spirit, said the Lord of hosts. What's the meaning of it? Force, might, but not star might. It was might that was sanctioned by the highest concepts of right. And it was Alpi Novi, Alpi Onatumim, Alpi Bez Nagodu. But it was still a Kedusha that was realized by might. Might sanctioned by light, but might. In the time of the Beis Hasheni, we couldn't speak of might because the Onatumim, they had no independence, except for a short period of 150 years of the Hashnoim. So how was Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael realized? Not through might, not through Kiddush, but through Chazoke, by settling upon the land, cultivating the land, preserving the land, defending it. So it was Niskadish. And this was not only done by Yeshua ben Nun and by Chages Chayim Malachai and Zerubbabel and Yeshua ben Yitzodok in regard to Eretz Yisrael, but it was done also in regard to Am Yisrael. It's much easier to sanctify a land than it is to sanctify a nation. So Yeshua sanctified Eretz Yisrael to kibush, highest kind type of kibush. He also sanctified the Jewish people through kibush. And Chades Chayim Malachai, Zerubbabel, and Yeshua ben Tzadok, they sanctified Eretz Yisrael the Chazoke, but they also sanctified and the Jewish people through Chazoke. How did he sanctify through the Anshit Nesas Agdelo? When he omru shleisha dvorim, al shleisha dvorim oilam eimeid, al atheo val adheido val bilus chasodim. There are three pillars upon the Jewish world's fence: Torah, wisdom, avedo God worship, religion, and bilus chasodim, generosity, service to your own brothers. So then, the first dusha was al the kibush, the first dusha of Eretz Yisrael, the first dusha of Am Yisrael al kibush. Kibush cannot last forever. The moment Nebuchadnezzar al Rosho came and he took the Jews into Babylonian exile, so the kibush of dusha came to an end. It was taken over by a kibush of tume, of bloodshed. Even though the first dusha was the first kibush was a kibush of dusha, and the kibush by Nebuchadnezzar Rosho was a kibush of tume, of bloodshed, of violence, of robbery, but still kibush is kibush. But the second dusha that was on the Chazoke, to work, dedication and labor, that can never terminate. So this is what the Malach said to Schaie. Loi b'chalo v'loi b'keach, ki b'ruchi omar Hashem Tzvokis. And this is my message to all the Jews and to all the parties. They should raise an alarm, make a great mourning, all the mishpoches, all the parties apart, likud apart, Mavdal apart, Agudas Yisrael apart, not together, but apart. There should be a coalition government. And the Me'atzeh De'atir apart. And then they should mend. There should be an end to the servile government of Rabin. And there should be a coalition government. And then we can hope that there will be an end to the numerous Moshiach v'Yosefs, and there will pave the way for the Messianic era of Moshiach ben David. Give it to you.
Thank you.
This is Machtim.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I don't think that you will now disagree with me that it was an historic occasion for us all to be in the presence of a Guru Hador, and his presentation to us here was so manifold in deep Lomdus, in Musa and Hashkofer, in politics as well. But of course to us here for this occasion, his tremendous sensitivity to Jamie's memory was something overwhelming. If you think that in this very shul, where Jamie celebrated his bar mitzvah 31 years ago, and where Reb Aaron met with him five weeks actually before his patira, and that it bespeaks so much about Reb Aaron's sensitivity to a human being, that after 12 years he has a perfect recall of what Jamie said and what he said to Jamie. But beyond that, it speaks volumes about the impact that Jamie has had in the world. And therefore, when I said before that David HaMelech fulfilled in the Jewish way the words of his great-grandmother Ruth when he said, "B'mosom lo nifrodu," there can be no separation through death. And in that sense, we are tremendously inspired and encouraged by what Reb Aaron said. And I think, and I hope, as I said before, that it should be a lesson and an encouragement to my children and grandchildren, from all of us here, always to keep in the center of our Hashkofer the Godel HaTorah, the Godel BeYisrael. As my teacher pointed out, the words of David HaMelech, Odom Bikor, Odom Bikor, the splendor which is man. And we're so profoundly grateful to Reb Aaron and for all of you here to have shared together this tremendous commemoration of Jamie. And we are very grateful to Reb Aaron for the sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And I'm sure that it'll all help us to look forward to Geulah Yeshua b'mehirah yomeinu. Thank you. What then? Yeah? What did money say?
Want Daven Maariv now downstairs?
Yeah, okay. Those who haven't Daven Maariv, please come downstairs, second floor, and everybody else downstairs. We have collation for all of us. And I look forward to mingling with you for another hour or two, as long as you want.